We get on the telephone line and welcome in our friend, Gary Tangway. Hello, Gary.
Rich, how you doing?
I'm just great. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Were your ears burning Saturday when I spent some quality time with Bob Ryan because your name came up a lot?
Oh, imagine that. Isn't he the best? I mean, that guy is just 77, 78, whatever he is, years young, has never lost his enthusiasm for sports or Sinatra or what he does. You know, even when he had heart surgery, he had a heart attack, like Shaughnessy said to me, Shaughnessy went through it too. He goes, you know, I had open heart surgery, and Bob's like, oh, it was no big deal. I had it during the NCAA tournament. It was great. Everybody's like, yeah, okay, Bob. You know, you can't, you're the only guy we know that makes open heart surgery sound like, oh, it was convenient because it was during the tournament.
He was great. We were having dinner, and we were talking about Bill Walton, and he got out his phone and showed me some pictures. First of all, he had just seen Walton at his home in San Diego in December, and then was showing me pictures of Walton's house, including much of the first floor, which is essentially a shrine to the Grateful Dead.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not a surprise. But he was doing, I can't remember, he told me why he was talking to Walton. Was that for the New England Sports Museum? It was for some museum.
Yeah, he was telling, he told me, and I can't remember what it was, but... No, it was a blast. He's awesome. It was good to spend some quality time with him there. All right, let me cut to the chase. Did you watch any of the new season of The Bear last night?
I haven't had a chance. You know what? It's school vacation. It's summertime. School's out, you know? Lacrosse, all this stuff. Did you watch it?
Oh, my. I watched 4 episodes.
Oh my God! It's that good.
It was that good. I couldn't stop. I finally, it was almost midnight. I said, "All right, enough of this." And plus, there are 10 episodes in the season. I want to be able to stretch it out a little bit and enjoy it. The first episode is very interesting. It's sort of a recap in a sense, but very artistically done of how we got here, how Carmi got to this place. But boy. Episode 2, when they look at the first month of the restaurant, it's brilliant. It is
the
interplay between Carmi and Richie, oh my God, it's fantastic. Oliver Platt is fabulous in it. It's off to a great start.
Yeah, tremendous actors. The chemistry's awesome. You know, I'm doing some work down here in Boston, and I was just, I'm going to be interviewing Michael Malley, and you know, actually, we should see if we could ever get him on. Have you ever talked to him?
I've never talked to him, but I'd love to.
Yeah, I got to see if we can do that. Because from Nashua, New Hampshire, Michael Malley.
Right.
This guy in show business, no lie. And, you know, I said to him, I said, I want to talk to you about your career. I said, you're always thinking about other people, but no one's ever really looked at your career, which is amazing.
Mm.
He was a producer and writer on Shameless.
That's right.
Which was on Showtime, which I loved. Which it's one of those things that show with Bill Macy. I mean, it ran for 11 seasons. It probably went a little too long, but you know, Mike worked on that show, and of course, that's when we first saw Carmi, if you will.
That's right.
That's when he played Lip, and then we saw him on The Bear, staying in Chicago, and he's just great. I mean, he's out of this world. I mean, the cast, there's no, even the chef, even the fix-it guy, you know, who's the chef, who now is on YouTube cooking up a storm everywhere.
Right.
Even he's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, the whole cast is so good. Now, didn't you, am I wrong that you, did you do some writing with Mike Malley?
I didn't do any writing. He has tried to help me get some scripts done.
Uh-huh.
He has critiqued my work. We haven't written together, but I have written scripts, and I'll send it to him, and he'll say, let's do this, and he's handed them off to people, and nothing has just developed out of it. But he's always been a big supporter, yeah. Yeah, great guy, great guy.
Anything new on the movie you did with Jamie Lee Curtis and Albert Brooks and Brooks?
Yeah, Jim Brooks hasn't called me to ask for any points on editing. I still have this nightmare that I'm, you know, my brief moment is going to end up on the cutting room floor, but, you know, what are you going to do about that? No, I haven't heard anything about that. It's been really slow. You know, it's interesting. The feeling is that this fall, in the first quarter of next year, production will pick up. Production is slow overall in the film department and television department because the big streamers are looking to merge. And I don't know if it's a ramification of the SAG after negotiations. I know that the crafts people just settled. And when I say crafts, I mean that's everything from wardrobe to craft services to, on set. The Teamsters still have to settle. So there's been a lot of union negotiations, and I wonder if they're looking for that to settle. I think streaming, as you know, has gone through a bit of a, people are kind of catching on. People
right.
get Disney Plus for 3 months, and then when they're done seeing their show, they'll cut it. So, that's why you're starting to see some streamers. They'll only put out three, or they'll put out four shows, or they'll put out every show once a week, just like it used to be with network television, so that you won't cut it. So I think that there was this big gangbusters of streaming, and then with the union negotiations, I think they were hoping to save some money there that they weren't able to. And now I think there's kind of this trying to be an economical fix, and that's hurt production. It's been slow. So I keep hearing about these alliances. Maybe you've read them where, Netflix and another streamer, for example, and Netflix will join, will bundle with Disney.
Right, right.
Or, Hulu. Well, Hulu's with Disney now, but, Paramount's on the block. Paramount Plus, which is one of my favorite streamers because of King of Tulsa and Mayor of Easttown, is on the block. I mean, they're trying to sell that. So I wonder who's going to buy that. I mean, does Amazon buy that? And then they have two? And then is that under FCC regulation? I mean, it's crazy. So people are trying to figure it out right now. So as far as the movie business, I mean, there's one. I know I auditioned the other day for a film with Amy Adams, which is kind of a small movie. And she plays a woman coming out of rehab. And they're shooting that this summer. But usually Boston, for summer movies, it's pretty active, and it really hasn't been.
I wonder if that's the film. We just talked with the great actress Jessica Harper a couple of weeks ago,
right.
And she was doing a film with Amy Adams coming out later in the year called Night Bitch.
Called what?
Night Bitch.
Wow. Yeah, no, this one is not that. This one's called At the Sea.
Okay.
She returns home to family after going through rehab. No, that's not the one. But I mean, there's still, heck, there's a movie that I shot, about Andy Warhol. That's still, I don't know where it is. We shot that got almost a year ago. No, 2 years ago. And it's still not out. So it's weird, man. People are still trying to figure out the models and the money it's really interesting.
Was it Gone Baby Gone? Were they unfortunately cut you, but they did have you on the DVD extras.
Yeah. No, that was Gone Baby Gone. I'm in a Ben Affleck movie, and then I'm waiting. I go, here I come. Nope, not in it. And there I go. And then I go, well, I'm in the deleted extras, which even with this one, I mean, it's like two lines. I was there shooting a week for two lines with James Earl Brooks. That could get cut. Hell, the late, great Matthew Perry, God rest his soul, he was in Don't Look Up. His scene got cut. So, who knows, Rich?
Well, who do I need to talk to make sure you don't end up on the cutting room floor?
Yeah, I don't. No, but I'm not. I have no idea. No clue on that one. Have you started to watch? I have to look up the name. The Jeff Daniels show on HBO.
What is it? A Man in Full?
Yes.
I have not because, I laughed when you were talking about people getting a service for a while and then dropping it. I dropped HBO after Succession completed his run, and I've been waiting for enough shows to accumulate that I can get it back and watch, and that's one of those I want to see when the time comes.
Yeah, it may be Netflix, I'm not sure. But I heard, and I know you've interviewed him. You've hung out with him, right?
Yeah. He's been on the show, I think, three times, and we actually went down to see him with his son's band down in Rockland a few years ago.
Right. I knew he was a friend of the show and a friend of yours. Yeah, and then anytime Jeff Daniels does a podcast or an Actors on Actors or an interview or anything. I mean, I'm all in. I listen to the whole thing. And sometimes I hear the same advice, you know, but like, he's the guy, you know, like, you know, when you're on a set, because you do a lot of waiting around, the only thing that matters is action and cut. What happens between action and cut, that's all that matters.
Well, you'll appreciate this. When we saw him, it was the summer before he opened on Broadway in To Kill a Mockingbird. And he said to us backstage, he said, let me tell you something. If we can survive the first month when it's critics every night, and I know they're going to walk in and go, what the hell is Jeff Daniels doing? He's no Gregory Peck. He said, if we can get through that month, he said, this thing is going to be the next Hamilton. It's going to be huge. And he was absolutely right. They got great reviews. But they never had an empty seat when he was playing Atticus Finch.
But here's the thing, though. Like, when he says the next Gregory Peck, movie stars are just so different back then. It's so huge. And so, but like, Jeff Daniels is the everyman.
Mm.
You know? I mean, he is the everyman. And you just root for him. You know, I always thought that he has the perfect amount of handsome. If he was any more handsome, you wouldn't root for him. Like, he's just like, he's a regular guy that you root for.
Yeah.
So, and Gregory Peck was obviously Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird, you know it. And you root for him, but like, Jeff Daniels is your root for the guy. Even in A Man at Fault, this guy is flawed. I mean, he is flawed. You even root for him then. You know, I mean, Daniels, who played the bad guy in Godless.
Right.
He was fantastic in Godless. I mean, he was definitely a bad guy in Godless. But he even brought a little humanity to that when you certainly knew the backstory and why he was the way he was. Of course, you know, Frank, the writer, he's one of the directors, one of the greatest ever. Talk about Shakespeare. But, you know, and obviously the great writers want to work with Daniels. I mean, look at whether it's Scott Frank or, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird or Newsroom, or they all want to work with the guy. But the thing about him is, I also heard when he talked about A Man in Full, and I don't know if anybody has watched it yet, he said he was going in heavy with the Southern accent because it takes place in Atlanta. He was going in with the Southern accent, and he said, I went big Foghorn Leghorn. And he is Foghorn Leghorn. I mean, you watch it, I mean, you know, I said, that boy's as sharp as a bowling ball. You know, he just, like, full on. And he said, I said to them, I said, you guys pull me back. You know, you pull me back. Because that's one of the hard things with acting. They always say less is more. And I go, yeah, less is more until it's not.
Mm.
Like, I went into an audition the other day. Less is more. Yeah, okay. So I go in, I'm like, I need more. I go, okay, of course you do. You know, I mean, couldn't you just say, they always say less is more, and then you say, I need more. So, like he said, until you pull me back, I'm going to go. And he said they never pulled him back.
Wow.
And this character is big. I mean, but he flawed and big, but he makes him so believable, you know?
He told us a great story about Godless that, and you know, what the answer is, if you're an actor, they said to him, do you know how to ride a horse? Well, as an actor, you always say yes. And then he fell off the horse and broke his arm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, if they tell you, can you drive a tank? Absolutely.
Yeah, so quite a bit. I've done it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I had took one around the block the other day. The part of Godless that in Queen's Gambit got all the attention, as justified as it should. But, like, the part of Godless that is when he rode the horse into the church.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He rode the horse into the church, and I said, and I'm all in, but I said, boy, he better pull this off, because this could lose me. This part could lose me. I mean, think about it. You're going to ride a horse into a church, keep everything grounded, and he pulls it off, and he did it. And I go, all right, now I'm really all in. That dude rode a horse into a church, said a few words at the pulpit, rode the horse back out. Okay, I'm in.
That's Jeff Daniels.
Know? And if you're reading it in a script, you're going, he does what with the horse? but yeah, so... But Man in Full, that's kind of what I'm on now, and I gotta get back to The Bear.
Oh, so good. Well, so when you watch The Bear, just remember these words: non-negotiable, non-negotiable,
non-negotiable. Right. Oh, yeah.
Keep that in mind. It's great. Hey, let me ask you about the Celtics. I feel like this is the shortest celebration ever. They got less than a week, and now everybody's talking about the draft and, oh, are the Knicks going to give them a run for the title next year? I thought they'd at least get the summer to enjoy it before they could start worrying about next season.
Do you think that's the media cycle, though, now, because everything is so immediate?
I think so.
You know, I think that's just what we live in. I mean, my God, you know, I love my guys like Felgi and Maz, but I said to him, I go, you know, you guys are great, and I find you very entertaining and Beat on the Zone, all the sports radio guys down here in town. I go, but when a team wins and there's nothing to complain about, you guys really aren't that good. I'm like, you know, you guys like saying everything is perfect. It kind of loses something. But there was nothing to complain about. Oh, maybe they take too many threes. Okay, fine, get over it. You know, Jason Tate, they're all model citizens. They're all smart guys. They've all contributed so much to charity. They are phenomenal. They're just, Brad Stevens has done a great job with it. They're just so damn likable and awesome. But then, you know, Rich, like, the discussion is, well, now what are we, okay, well, what are they going to do for next year? Nothing.
Nothing.
You know, I mean, where's the hot stove, if you will? Nothing. I mean, the only thing, you know, I on the podcast with Bob Wright, I mean, I you know, do you bring back Hauser when he's up, you know, or Pritchard when he's up? That's like the big, and I said, you know how it's going to go with Pritchard and Hauser. When they become available, you know, you're going to pay them what you pay them, and if they become available, when they become available, if some other team offers them a boatload of money, you tell them to go take it and get paid, you know? But in the interim, they're going to help you win some games and win some championships, and they get their rings. But, you know, if Pritchard or Hauser, if somebody backs up the Brinks truck, take the money. I mean, just take it. I mean, you're not going to pay him here. But, I mean, God, Derek White's going to get $125 million. Think about that.
Wow.
And compared to everybody, I mean, Tatum's getting $315. So, I mean, if somebody says to Hauser, hey, I'll give you $40 million to come shoot threes for me. Sam, nice knowing you. Mm. Take your money. And no harm, no foul. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the way it is. You got to, like, I'll never forget, Perks told the story. When he got traded to Oklahoma City, he was crying in his room, and Garnett said, hey, you're going to get paid, and you're going to set up your family. And that's, you know, we don't think of that. You know, right. we don't think of that. But, like, Hauser and Pritchard, that's, you know, the other guys aren't going anywhere. Well, I mean, Al's got another year in him, I think, at 15 minutes a game tops.
Hmm.
God bless him. He did his best. But, yeah, you know, that's the nature of the beast. I think they can win it again, you know, especially the way they play team basketball. You got to stay healthy. You know, you got to keep everybody in check. But, look, when your best player, you know as well as I do, Richie, when your best player leads your team in rebounding and passes the ball before he shoots, that sets the tone.
Yeah. I thought very classy comments from Marcus Smart, talking about how he was cheering for the guys.
He should be. he's a jovial guy, but look, they were never going to win it with him. It was addition by subtraction. And what we learned is that it wasn't really Marcus for Drew Holiday, even though that's kind of the way it works on the roster. It was Marcus left, and it gave Jaylen Brown breathing room. Because those guys used to butt heads, you know. Marcus and Jaylen, you know, now Jaylen could be like sort of the alpha. He was the guy that was going to set the tone. He was going to call out Tatum. You know, he was going to, you know, he was going to play the defense. And I've told you before, I mean, Jaylen used to say, hey, give me the best player. Because Marcus went, once he was all defense, at times he kind of struggled a little bit. And then, or took his eye off the ball, and Jaylen would go, let me guard Dwayne Wade, or let me guard Jimmy Butler. And Marcus said, no, I'm going to take him. And, you know, now that's not going on. I mean, Jaylen Brown, when he wants to be, can be the best defensive player in the league. I mean, and he got dissed on a lot of that. He's not going to get dissed anymore. But with Marcus moving out, that gave Jaylen Brown room to breathe. And I never saw that coming. Like, I didn't. Mm. That was a behind-the-scenes thing that came that way.
All right, I have to share with you the compliment that Bob Ryan gave you the other night. He said, you know, Gary always says it's the NBA podcast with Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman and Gary Tangway tagging along or something like that. He goes, but Gary's the one that ties it all together.
Well, it's easy to do with those two. I mean, look, what goes on in the mind of Bob Ryan is simply amazing. We do a history, you know, when it's Bob and I, we do two podcasts a week, one with Jeff and one with just Bob and myself. And there's a segment we do with, like, Bob. I go, let's do some history. You know, it's good. And he just takes off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's amazing. He just takes off. And the only thing you have to do with Bob and Goodman is keep them on track. You know, they're the lions. I'm the tamer. You just got to, like, keep them on track. And that's all I do. And it's one of those shows that you prepare for. And, you know, like, you have a list of questions. But all the questions come up organically because those guys come up with something you don't expect.
Absolutely.
You know, like, Goodman's amazing. I mean, Goodman, like, he's known Jason Tatum since he was 15 years old. And he says, I am not surprised that Jason Tatum is a great passer. And he said, I seen that guy. When that guy was 15 years old, I knew he was going to be a great passer in the NBA. Because just when he got here, he thought he had to score. You know, no one else knows that stuff but Goodman. You know, because he's in the gyms. You know, he'll go to some gym somewhere that doesn't have any air conditioning and there's an AAU tournament going on, or, you know, the future NBA stars are 10 years away, and that's where Goodman is. You know, can't beat that.
Well, if you don't listen to the podcast, make sure you check it out with Gary and Bob and Jeff Goodman. Great stuff, as always. Gary, good to talk with you. Hope you have a good 4th and enjoy watching lots of lacrosse here in the month of July.
Oh, God. I had my son is going to college for lacrosse, and now I have a daughter who is fully committed to the sport. Fully committed to the sport. So we'll be up and down the East Coast again.
Gary Tangway, lacrosse dad with us here on Downtown.